I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know that I'm super passionate about wholeness and the healing process. And I believe with all my heart, and I think it's very much backed up in Scripture, that Jesus cares about the human condition. He cares about your story, your hurts, your traumas, your unfulfilled expectations, and He wants to meet you in those places to bring healing, wholeness, and freedom. Well, my guest today is a certified life coach, and she specializes in becoming emotionally healthy and happy and whole and in trauma. She writes this, "Rewiring the neural pathways of our brain takes time. What took years to nestle into the folds of our brains won't suddenly disappear overnight. Yes, miracles happen. I never discount the power of God. But in my experience, change happens one change thought process at a time." Janelle Reardon joins me today to help us become more emotionally healthy and strong. Title of her book is Stronger Every Day, 9 Tools for an Emotionally Healthy You. We've got 5 copies to give away. And I want to tell you, you hear this from me a lot, but you texting me is kind of like a love language for me because I get to hear what you're thinking, hear how you're doing. So 2 things. If you want in on the draw, you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. But I would love to know, if you were to imagine a healthier, healed you a year from now, what would that entail? I mean, would you be more of this or less of this? You know, would you maybe say, I'd be less fearful and I'd be more aware of God's love, or I'd have more faith and more courage to step out and take risks, or I'd be less insecure or less self-protective? I mean, what would a healthier, healed you look like? I want you to first get a picture of it. Can you picture it? You walking in a new strength where maybe you've been weak in the past. Would you share with me? It would mean the world to me to hear some of your thoughts. You can text them in at 877-933-2484. And a quick announcement, if there's a mom or a mentor in your life that you want to honor, we want to hear your story. You can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and just tell us about that special person in your life. And we've got a really cool gift packed giveaway to somebody who wins. So we'd love for you to check that out. Now let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Janelle Reardon is a board certified life coach, an adjunct professor, an award-winning author who loves nothing more than helping family systems become more emotionally healthy, happy, and whole. In her private practice, the Heart Lift practice, she specializes in trauma-informed, attachment-based, faith-infused modalities. She and her husband of more than 36 years have 3 grown children, and they live in Virginia. Janelle, so good to meet you. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much, Susie. It is an honor just to be here with you. I get your email every morning in my box, and I am filled with faith.
Oh, I'm so grateful. I did not know that. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we love to start every day talking Scripture, and I'm wondering if there's one you've been pondering these days you can share with us.
Oh, my goodness. I really have. There's several, but one has been taking me on a very deep dive, and it's the first words ever spoken on earth by God, and they're Genesis 1, verse 3. Let there be light. Let there be light. And I just have been, sitting with those 4 words and thinking, wow. I've been asked to just do some work on helping people with anxiety and depression. And I thought, where else do you start when you're suffering with anxiety and depression, right? And I just couldn't go anywhere further than those 4 words. And so in my own personal life, these last few weeks, I've just walking around all day, like on an absolute light hunt. Where is light? I'm looking up into the sky. I'm looking into God's word. I'm just looking for light everywhere, just like you would on a treasure hunt. Because I feel like in that word light in the Hebrew there is our, I cannot say it correctly, O-W-R. And Susie, what that means is profound. It's like everything we'd ever need is inside of that word light. And when we say let, we're saying we're opening up, right? We're allowing God. We're saying, God, you're so big. I'm so small, but I want you to let there be. Put that light where I need it. Shine it in my heart, in every crevice, every piece that's broken. Because you know what? That's where the light's going to shine through all those broken places. So that's what I've been literally walking along every day with, holding hands with Let There Be.
I was just telling my producer before the show, just read a Ted Decker novel about just really the light shining in the darkness and how the enemy uses fear to manipulate us and even fear around our safety. This is, you know, this the timing of that message, I think, of the times we're in. I think he released it some time ago. But the idea, it just kept showing these visuals of light dispels the darkness. Even though the thick darkness covers the earth, light dispels the darkness. And as you're talking, Janelle, I'm just thinking of John 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. Listen to this. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone.
Yeah.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. It just takes your breath away, doesn't it?
That takes your breath away. And I'll just add, like, in the left hand I'm holding Genesis 1:3, and in my right hand I'm holding Luke 11, and where he talks about when your eyes are full of light, your whole body is full of light, because our eyes are the lamp of the body. And I was like, where, how, when, what can I fill my eyes with light? Because when we look around, there's a whole lot of darkness. So we have to be highly intentional and very strategic in this day and age to look for the light. And in Him, there is no darkness. And so I'm just unpacking it, Susie, and I am just taking it apart, and I'm trying to dig deep to find a message of hope.
This is why I asked the question. Fantastic. I mean, I feel like we always have like a mini time of church in this first segment, because God's word is so living and breathing. When you think about that, your eyes are filled with light, and you think, you know, the world is, you know, darkness covers the earth. And then the scripture, you know, set your sights on the realities of heaven and fix your mind on things above. Maybe say a little bit more what that means to you. I mean, this very much connects to your title, and we're going to dig in just a moment. But maybe for the person listening today who says, how do I, you know, fill my eyes with light? What does that even look like on a practical level?
I know. I'm like I said, I'm unpacking it, and I'm unpacking it in response to what has happened since my book has come out, which seems to always be the journey. You know, the work of the book then unpacks and unfolds deeper works. And for me, the deeper work is, but I'm so anxious and so depressed, and I don't, you know, how do I help myself right in this very second? You know, I don't have a year. I don't have 9 months. And that those are the urgent cries that I have been hearing from readers and from listeners. And, you know, I can't turn away from that lightly, because I care deeply. And so I've been seeking God on that, and how, you know, what can I say? What can I bring to the table that is perhaps more immediate? You know, and this is just what's coming to me, that, you know, that was a proclamation. That was a daily declaration, as the beautiful author, Margaret Feinberg, she's just released a beautiful book, and it's called, you know, More Power to You. I've just been so engrossed in setting the intentions for the day. And what that would look like, Susie, is I call it look for an everyday epiphany. Because you will find something along the path of your day, no matter how dark your day is, when you are on the hunt, when you are on the search. And then, quite honestly, the last decade of my life was extremely difficult with lots of different passages, but one particularly with my mother. And I can just remember following, you know, an ambulance in a nor'easter, and it was freezing cold, and I'm weeping. And I had just asked God that morning, because it had been a long road of difficulty, can you just give me something good today, God? Can you give me a break? I don't ever ask God that, but I did that morning in my pillow on my knees before I got out of bed. And, you know, a few hours later, the phone rings. My mom's had another accident, and we're on our way to the hospital in nor'easter. Well, that's not very good to me. I wasn't real happy with that answer. But then as I moved through the corridors of that hospital, and all along the walls were words like compassion and love and faith, and chaplains showed up at the door, and I went and sat in the chapel, and God said, Janelle, I am good. I am good. So that's what it looks like to me. And that's where the journey, like, of stronger every day. People have an image in their mind, Susie, that strength looks one way. But to me, my strength was forged on that day when I was on the hunt. I'm going to find something good in this day. That was a real game changer for me. So I think that, to me, is what it looks like. It looks like I'm intentional. I'm going to cry my way through it. I'm going to hunt for it. I'm just going to open my hands, and I'm going to let there be light wherever it can be.
And I love that story, too, because we find it in the most unexpected places. I think when we live under this illusion that everybody else is living at ease while I'm army crawling through the valley, even those kinds of mindsets, I think, weaken us on our own battlefield. Everybody's in a battle. Everybody's struggling. And when we want to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, so often it shows up in the most unexpected places. We're going to pause here. I'm talking to Janelle Reardon. She's a life coach. Her book is titled Stronger Every Day, 9 Tools for an Emotional, Healthy You. If you've got questions, text them in 877-933-2484. Also, 5 copies to give away, so you can text the word book to that same number. I did ask the question at the open of the show, what would a more healthy, healed you look like? Can you picture it? And this dear listener says, I would be less fearful and feel more victorious and confident in Jesus. May it be so, my friend. More with Janelle Reardon in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to life coach Janelle Reardon. Her book is titled Stronger Every Day, 9 Tools for an Emotionally Healthy You. And you're right, this, Janelle. Very often our skewed thought processes skew our perception of God and faith. Once we heal our mind, our perceptions, that is, our capacity for comprehension heal, and we see more clearly. This doesn't come quickly, but it does come. I love the assurance of that. It's like if we keep on keeping on. Maybe speak to that process and what that might look like.
It definitely is a keep on keeping on, for sure, Susie. I think the process of transformation is not hurried. And I think of Jesus so much in this process that he was never, ever in a hurry. And so we live in the culture that we live in, for sure. And we have a culture that is pretty adverse to slow, to doing things slow. But the process of transformation, imaged so beautifully in nature, is always a slow process. And so I think that starting with that whole awareness that I can't be in a hurry, things that took years and years to fold, as you read earlier, into our brains, into our nervous system, our wiring. Yes, I do believe in the suddenlies. I absolutely do. But so many of us often want a magic wand. I have people say that to me all the time. Just whirl your wand, do your magic. I'm like, well, no, I don't do that. But I absolutely know that when you continue walking and moving forward, sometimes you'll take some steps backwards, but as you continue the movement forward, you will eventually come out of that dark night of the soul or that valley of the shadow of death, because I know who God is. And I know God is faithful to his word to lead and guide you to the light.
Tell us a story, if you're able, about maybe someone you've worked with who they were, I once was and now I am. And what their process may have looked like.
It looks like a great deal of weeping. <That's> not encouraging.
Right.
That's not encouraging. It looks like a whole lot of wrestling, like Jacob. It looks like a lot of laying down by the brook Kereth, like Elijah. It looks a lot like driving in a nor'easter. It looks a lot like just Boy, Susie. Effort that leads to ease. Does that help? So there's one woman in mine particularly, and she's given me just the beautiful blessing to share her story. And when she was a little girl, life wasn't the easiest for her. And her daddy, when she was like 8, would take her to wrestling matches. And I'd love to share the story because I think that it's relevant in a myriad of circumstances. And she was just scared to death. I mean, she's a little girl, a little prissy girl, you know, 8 years old. She's in this wrestling match and with all men, and they're screaming and yelling and they're drinking and they're smoking. And she just climbed under the chair. She was so afraid. And she's well now in her years. And she's been so committed to this process of transformation, to healing those traumatized neural pathways in her brain. And she's just now coming out from under that chair and understanding that back then she didn't have any control, right? She was a little girl and all of those emotions were too big for her body. That's how I like to think of trauma. She didn't have a voice, but she does today. But it still takes a unlearning, in a sense, and a rewiring and a lot of tender love and care to be able to climb out from under perhaps some heavier things in our lives, or even not even heavy things, but maybe a bully's voice in your life. Maybe in my life there was a nun who, you know, who just shamed me a bit. And so, you know, we don't even know those things are informing our life today until we're triggered, or until something, you know, we keep tripping over the same behavior or failed relationship or inability to connect with others. But when we do, that's where that light comes, and God gently holds his hand out to us wherever we are. If we're under a table, right, under a chair, sitting in the corner of a room, I don't know, sitting in a hospital chapel, wherever you might be today, dear listener, God is reaching his hand out to you, and he's saying to you, I'm safe. You're secure with me. I'm going to lead you gently. Follow me. Listen to my word. We're gonna walk into that new life that you are envisioning, like Susie, you invited everyone into at the very beginning. Who do you want to be in a year? God's saying today's the day. Let's start. Let's get on it. Let's do it.
Amen. Somebody text me an amen. You know, Janelle, I think one of the reasons I do ask for that once in a while, just give me an amen, and our listeners are so amazing. You'll see a whole ticker tape of amens. Come on in. I love that. But, you know, I think one of the reasons so many may be stuck is the process, as you say, takes concerted effort. You know, it's like when you're already battling, the thought of exerting more energy towards health seems almost overwhelming. But I think that we have to remember that it takes a whole lot of energy to stay stuck. All of it is hard. So somehow, some way, we got to say, I can do hard, and I'm going to do the right kind of hard so I can move where I need to go. But maybe speak to that if you would.
Well, I think that it is a perception that it is hard, and I am telling you that it takes effort and work. But I also know that healing doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be complicated, and I really do my best. I want to talk to it right here, right now, Susie, but I do my best in the 9 tools that I did choose in Stronger Every Day to choose the ones that I feel like speed up the process, perhaps like secure attachment. When you know that you know, you're seen, you're heard, you're valued, you belong, you have value, worth, and dignity. When you know that rudimentary, absolutely, I believe that inheritance we're supposed to have when God breathed his life into us and made us a living being, but not all of us get that in our childhood. And so I do believe that if and when you pick up at least that tool and start with your own heart and say and speak to yourself as you would a beloved child or someone that you love dearly, you know what? That's where the healing starts. And that's not complicated. That's very simple, actually, that you can wake up and open your eyes and go, I have value. worth and dignity. God is with me. He sees me. So I'm going to open my hands, my eyes, my ears, my heart, and I am going to receive from God today. I just don't think God turns away from that kind of cry. My own journey started with three words: God, help me. That's where it started. I had no other word. I was broken beyond broken. And there were days where I was a little more polite because I live in the South. Please, God, help me. But I think, you know, let's extract perhaps a skewed perception that it's going to take thousands of hours of clinical therapy or no. I really believe that's why I brought this book into the world, because when we can possess the knowledge of tools that make the healing process simpler, then we can move through it with more ease. Does that make sense?
Very much. You know, I often say every step towards healing and health matters, every step. And then we've got the supernatural assistance of the Most High God, that he's more committed to our wholeness than we are. So as you say, waking up each morning and just and making that declaration, I'm secure. I am my beloved's. He is mine. His banner over me is love. Every time you do that, it's like nourishment for the soul, nourishment for your brain. And when you're doing that, you're not berating yourself. In that moment, you're extending self-compassion. You're telling yourself the truth. And each of those steps makes a difference, doesn't it?
Well, it makes a huge difference inside of the wiring of your brain as well, which is what I love now, that we know what God knows. You know, Paul speaks to this. You know, God can renew our mind. But now we have neuroscience that actually, you know, in the last two decades has said we can rewire our brain, where for years and centuries they said you couldn't. So there were, you know, there were phrases like don't wake the bear, don't poke the bear, don't wake the tiger. But now we actually do have evidence that we can rewire our brains, and that's going to begin inside of your own heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, what does it say, right? Guard your heart. Guard your affections, because absolutely everything is influenced by what's inside of your heart. So we can start by speaking life to our own heart. Heart, you have so much value. I remember when I first started this journey as well, I must have put 1,000 post-it notes all over my house with just who God thought I was, what God said about me, all of the truth. Truth, truth, truth. I surrounded myself with truth. Yes.
We need to be doing that right now. I'm doing that right now just for the healing process. And it's literally changing things from the inside out. I can tell. Well, I'm talking to Janelle Reardon. I see a few texts that came in. I will read those on the other side and have Janelle comment on them. Her book, Stronger Every Day, 9 Tools for an Emotionally Healthy You. If you've got a question, you can text it in as well. 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to life coach and counselor Janelle Reardon. Her book, Stronger Every Day, 9 Tools for an Emotionally Healthy You. And it takes work. We apply ourselves. You know, God does a part and we play a part. But all of that wiring in our brain from repetitive thought processes that we need to unlearn some things. This is why, you know, scripture says so much about our thought lives, that we're transformed by changing the way we think, because it's true. And now brain scientists are just figuring that out. And you know, I've been battling, you know, some of this health stuff, and I feel like I've turned the corner. I want to tell you, you know what I did today? I took a picture of a female cyclist, because I used to be a beast on the bike, and I'm working my way back, but I'm not anywhere where I was a handful of years ago. But I taped it to my computer, and I did write Stronger Every Day. And I just, every time I look at that picture, my heart just does a pitter-patter. And but anyway, Janelle, we've got 5 copies of her book to give away today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. So Janelle, we've got a few texts that had come in that, because I'd asked the question, what would a healthier you look like a year from now? I'd love for you to comment on these. This dear listener says, a healthier me a year from now would be able to let myself 100% trust in God. I know that sounds bad to say. And first of all, I said, no, it doesn't. We're all there. But that is where I am. My fear and anxiety would be gone, and I would just know that I know. I would hear from God. I would know that I have a purpose. I would also be confident in myself and every aspect of my life. I'd be able to hopefully relax, trust, and believe without any doubt. I wish I could wrap my arms around this dear soul, but what do you say to that dear one?
I say that I want it all to be gone for her as well. No doubt about it. But this is where I've been sitting lately. So I'm hoping that this will be very helpful. I think that we live in a time, I think this has actually been since the beginning of time, after the fall, we have had stress, anxiety, you know, struggle. And so I think that I don't think it's going to be gone until I leave this place and go be with my Heavenly Father. And so my deeper prayer for you, dear one, is that God will become your closest friend, right? And he already is. I know that. I can hear it in your voice. But that you will learn how to manage the right word, or learn to sit with both the unpleasant and the pleasant. You know, let me give you an example in my own life. I think this might be helpful. My mother passed of COVID, 92 years old, in August. I was not allowed to be with her, and I had been her advocate for over 9 years every time, like I said before. And so to not be able to be with her was excruciatingly painful. Wow. I think she was alone in the ER for four nights by herself, on and on. So her birthday was April 8th. That weekend, I visited her graveside and took some flowers and just sat under this beautiful tree with the wind chimes blowing. It was gorgeous, and cried. But I also just, the couple days later, on a Saturday, that was a Thursday, I felt extremely sad and anxious. And I thought, I have nothing going. I shouldn't be anxious. I shouldn't be this sad. Why am I so sad? I know what to do. I've got all the tools. And instead of fighting it, I said, oh, okay, this is just sadness. Hi, sadness. Let's just come sit down. And I went and sat in what I call my breathing room. I've created a space in my home where I can go, and at times it was a corner, but now my children are all grown, so I have a whole room where I can meet with God and have quiet. And I pulled out some of the tools that are in my book, some setting of intentions, and I said, I am sad. Welcome, sadness. And so I'm just learning that I don't want to just, it doesn't have to just go away. It can just be a part of my fabric and part of my daily journey, you know, and I see that imaged in scripture all the time, you know, Paul and Silas in chains and prison. And what do? They sing, worship, they praise God. Who does that? And so I think, dear, dear heart, I want you to be filled with the capacity that your God will be with you in that anxiety, and that he's walking right next to you, and that every morning that you wake up, you'll be able to manage it with more strength and more strength. Susie, if I have a minute, just one of the greatest revelations recently as well was in 2 Corinthians 12:9-12. But in the Passion Translation of the Bible, we're all very familiar with the scripture in the King James where it says, you know, my strength is made perfect in God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. But in the Passion, it actually says that when I'm weak, I sense more deeply the mighty power of Christ living in me, because my weakness then becomes a portal to God's power. And a portal is a massive entranceway. A portal's not just a door. It's a grand entrance when you take it down to its root. And so that was a shift for me in that, what? Right. When I'm weak, then I'm finally getting out of my own way. And I'm finally accessing this massive amount of power that God has. And I know that might sound cliche to some heart. I don't want it to sound cliche. I want it to sound empowering. I want it to sound like this is true strength. when I am really afraid, I go, okay, fear, I see you. I hear you. I gotcha. But you know who's bigger than you are? My God. Mm-hmm. My God is so great. My God is so mighty. Right? It's
Amen.
That. That's where it gets less complicated to me.
I love that, living in the tension, Janelle, because, I, again, when we have maybe an unrealistic expectation, we see commercials, we see Instagram, we see people who look like they're physically always feeling well, they're always strong in the faith, and all their kids line up in a perfect row and look perfect all the time. You see those pictures and you kind of superimpose, I'm just not there. I don't have that kind of feeling consistently. But they even say, and I don't know what the stat is on this, but something to the effect that when you name those negative emotions, they lose about 50% power in your physiology, as far as it just brings down the stress of the negative emotion. So to say, hey, there's some sadness there. And Lord, I'm never without you. So here we are together. What do you want to teach me about that? I mean, it does take some of the power away, doesn't it?
Well, I love that you brought up that there's a tension, because the scriptures are full of tension. And Paul, his writings are full of tension. You know, when I'm weak, I'm strong. When I can be content in any situation, when I have a lot and when I have a little. You know, and Paul is setting a standard for us. You know, we don't have the privy of his journals where he might be hashing it out, you know, to give us as an author. We love to give the standard, or we love to give the hope, right? But that is fleshed out in our flesh. And so, you know, one of the true pitfalls, I think, Susie, of social media is exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. It's this imaging of a preconceived, misaligned expectation of what strength looks like. And I think that's why I'm probably pounding the table over it post putting my book out into the world, because I think people even image stronger every day that you are on that bike doing a 13.2, or, you know, riding in a marathon, or maybe you're in the triathlon. No. To me, Susie, you're forging strength, true strength, the strength of Jesus Christ in the journey back to the bike.
That's right. Very good.
It's like not the destination, that old saying, right? It's really truly is about the journey. And I'm not telling that on Instagram.
Right.
You know, that's not what I'm doing, although I'm shifting in my thought. Am I doing a disservice, actually, by not showing reality? So I think that it is, you're just nailing it on the head, because you've lived it, Susie. I know your story. I've listened to your story. I know your listeners know your story. And you've been honest and vulnerable. And thank you for that. Please don't ever stop, because your authentic struggle is true strength.
Wow. I didn't expect to get ministered to, but I want to just say thank you, because that's a great reframing. And you write a lot about that in the book, about reframing things. And one of the questions you asked in the book that I just love our listeners so much. I love them so much. Yeah. When I read this, I'm a tender heart anyway, but I almost start crying on behalf of those who, when they hear this question, may choke up themselves. But you said, you asked the question, do you need to be loved back to life? And anybody listening to that right now, I want you just to text me. If that's you, if that question moves your heart, do you need to be loved back to life? Just text me yes, because I want to be able to pray for you. But unpack that, if you would, Janelle.
Yeah. I'm texting you yes. Go ahead. Say what
you're texting yes? You're texting yes right now. Okay, you're on live radio, and you are the guest, but bless your heart. Amen. Amen.
Love back to life on some level.
Indeed. Amen and amen. So speak to that, if you would.
I just love that question. I remember where I was in the struggle of writing and putting words on paper. I remember, you know, the weeping of my own heart and writing that, because I share that with you, Susie. I love people. I love them so much. And if I could just reach through, you know, and just like some people tell me, can I just have an IV drip in my arm of you speaking into my life every day? Oh, it's like, yes, you can. You have that potential to do it yourself. You know, but it's like, life is hard, man. Life is just hard, but we serve an almighty God who will love us back to life. Mm-hmm. And I think that you and I today are really creating a real picture. That's what I'm hearing, Susie, a real picture of what it means to be stronger every day. Someone said to me, you know, it's not strongest every day. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so good. Can I share mm-hmm. that? Mm-hmm. It's stronger every day.
Amen.
And sometimes it's, I'm going to get stronger when I've fallen 70 times today and I'm being picked up and I'm going to get up and try again. So once again, it is your authentic struggle, Susie. I feel like God is really speaking that to you personally, but also to all of us who are listening, that it is the authentic struggle in which we get stronger every day. Mm. And so then we can carry that strength, right, to those who are in our spheres of influence and just say, boy, I've been where you are. I've been there. You're going to scrape your knees. Yeah, you may even scrape your elbows at the same time. You may even hit your head. But you're going to get back up. And every time we get back up, we are gaining strength emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and then even physically. Yes.
Mm. Mm. Wow. Amen and amen. I have our last break here when we come back. At the end of the show, I see you friends, Susan, Mike, RJ, Linda, Kathy, and the rest of you. We're going to pray for all of you. We're going to, both Janelle and I are going to pray. And I want you to believe that the power of the risen Christ is alive in you and Jesus cares about your heart and your story. Don't get stuck here. Don't lose expectancy. Don't adjust your theology to match your experience. God loves you. He is for you, and He is the Redeemer and the Restorer of our hearts, our souls, our lives, and our stories. We have every reason for hope. So hope can make a comeback in your heart. When we come back, Janelle, I want you to talk about shame, what you've learned about shame, and what maybe somebody who's dealing with it today may need to hear. Talking to life coach and counselor Janelle Reardon, her book, Stronger Every Day, 9 Tools for an Emotionally Healthy You. Back in a minute. Amen. We believe for it. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to life coach, counselor Janelle Reardon about her book, Stronger Every Day, 9 Tools for an Emotionally Healthy You. We're digging into some pretty deep things here today. And before the break, one of the questions Janelle asked in the book is, do you need to be loved back to life? And I actually just text yes, if that's you. And a lot of you did. And we're going to pray for you. And I just want you to believe with us that and picture yourself healthier, healed, redeemed, picture and develop an expectancy that God is who He says He is, and He's going to do what He says He's going to do. We need to start believing that He's the God of the impossible, and we cooperate with Him, and He does great things. Janelle, talk, if you would, about shame. We've covered that on the show, and I noticed you referenced Dr. Kurt Thompson a few times in the book. He's been on our show a bunch of times, but it's a prevailing issue. What have you learned about it?
Well, I learned that I like to call a Satan liar. In Stronger Every Day, and I compare liar and truth. And so shame to me is the devil's language. And it, Dr. Kurt Thompson and the Soul of Shame, you just can't find a better resource. But I just tried to bring it down to a little bit more of nuts and bolts. And shame is just that intensely painful feeling, right, when we believe we're flawed or we believe that we're not worthy of love. And so what we need to do, and I offer that and outline it in tool 4, is shift from shaming languages, you know, that shaming language, to grace language, because God is the Father of grace. He gives us grace. And so the very, very first thing that I say to any person is just start noticing, start lifting the weight of shame and start bringing it out of your language. And that starts with how you speak to yourself. If you start listening to how you talk to yourself, you're going to notice those shaming phrases. You're not good enough. You can't do that. Oh, she's so much prettier. Why, she's got a better husband. You just, you know, name it. You'll never get back on that bike, Susie. Never. What do you think? Are you crazy? It has a very recognizable tone. And I talk a lot about prosody, which is the big word for tone of voice. And tone of voice is, that's it, man. It is what frames how our thought processes are shaped. And so when you begin to turn up your awareness to, oh, that was a shaming voice. And I think many of us might have grown up with shaming voices being spoken over us. I hear it all the time. I walk through a store and I just have to restrain myself from parents, you know. And if that's how you were raised and that's what you find yourself doing, today's a new day to shift from a shaming-based language to a grace-based language. And that starts by speaking a new way to yourself and recognizing. And so I offer a beautiful exercise in the book called When Grace Writes Your Story and When Shame Writes Your Story. And today, my dear, dear listener, it is a day to start rewriting your story, to write a new narrative and to start speaking. Start speaking that beautiful language of love to yourself. And who's going to love you back to life? First, you. You're going to do that. You are going to begin speaking a love language to your very own heart. And I give you where to start. I have value, worth, and dignity. Going to be a broken record, Susie. But it starts that simply, and it starts today, right now.
Hmm. Amen. We have Dr. Troy on once a month. He's a functional med doc. And we, you know, talk just about our wholeness, really, on all these levels, mind, body, spirit. And he said a couple years ago on the show, he said, we are wired for love because God is love and we are made in his image. We're wired for love. And love is what opens up our cells, allows us to receive nourishment from food. And he says, when you are chronically insecure or chronically full of shame or whatever, and you leave those things basically unchallenged within you, he said, it is like putting one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake and just, you know, just burning up your motor because you're sending your body such mixed messages. And if we could see it that way and the implications of us physiologically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, of leaving those things unchallenged, boy, I think it maybe motivate us more to get in agreement with God. So when you're loving yourself, you're just getting in agreement with God who sings over you. But I think that's so, that doesn't always feel true to people, you know?
And I think that's why the simplest, I don't know a simpler way to begin the process of becoming that person you want to see yourself be in the next year is by becoming aware. And I brought it down real simple for my sweet little simple mind was, that's unhealthy, this is healthy.
Very good.
Now, the way that you're talking about yourself is really unhealthy. The way you're comparing yourself to that person on Instagram is unhealthy, Janelle. The way that you're, that's unhealthy. This is healthy. It helped me make it more simple, like we have been talking about today, so that this healing process isn't this overarching, complicated process. But when we start that fundamental, today I believe the truth about myself. I believe I'm lovable. I believe I'm worthy of connection. And I have that prayer inside of tool 4 for you to start with, because sometimes it's hard to find your own words. So I just try to give you those words, believing these I am statements about yourself. And, you know, even when the father of lies tries to speak against you, you have got to stay the course. And as Susie is saying, you know, believe it about yourself. Be in agreement.
You got a chapter titled Speaking Healing Words to Your Future. I like that. Say more about it.
Well, words are everything, right? We know that they have the power of life and death, Proverbs 18:21. Words wield power. And so we are in control of that. And that is something that we can utilize on a daily basis. And so when we begin that journey, like I said a minute ago, beginning to recognize, beginning to be aware that, well, that wasn't healthy. That certainly wasn't bringing any healing into my mind, like you were talking, or healing into my telomeres, which are in my neural, down, way down in my cellular level. I need to speak healing words to my nervous system. You know, I came from an alcoholic home, so my little old nervous system just went through life being hypervigilant. So I have to begin speaking these words to myself. And that's why I gave it the precedent of being one of those strategic tools that when you start using it, watch what's going to happen. You'll be amazed at what happens. So, yeah.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, let's pray. Let's just take some time and pray for these dear souls. There's different folks going, you know, I live bracing for impact, waiting for the other shoe to drop because they deal with really serious health issues. Someone else healing it just because they self-sabotage. Others who've just been absolutely heartbroken. So many. One, Jeannie has become, Joyce has become a widow 2 years ago this Friday. So much hurt, you know, and definitely wanted to get you back because we didn't even touch on your tools, and I've got them all printed up here in my notes, and there's so many other questions. But I really trust that God led us to go where we're supposed to go for the sake of our listeners. And this listener says, let me just say this. Our listener said, I was raised believing that if we loved ourselves, we were conceited. That's heartbreaking. Yeah. So what were you going to say?
It's a false limiting belief. And that's, I wanted to say just desperately that that belief can come from skewed theology, skewed ways of teaching, because that comes through human beings, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But God is love. And God, loving yourself is loving God. It's inextricable because he lives inside of you. So when I finally began to understand that Christ is in me, he's the hope of glory, of course I have to. I'm loving God when I love myself in a nurturing, not narcissistic way. And so I just pray that today perhaps you believe, dear listener, that you are worthy of love. Yeah. You're worthy.
I've got the benefit of looking at the clock, and we're up to the very end here, so I'm going to pray. And we're going to get you back, Janelle. We'd love to get you back. There's so much more to talk about. But, Father, we just come before you, and we lift these dear brothers and sisters up to you. And I know they are the tip of the iceberg that so many of us need to be loved back to life. So many of us need healing. So many of us carry trauma in our cellular system because of things we've experienced. But would you, for these dear listeners, pour out your spirit, God, in a fresh new way? I pray that hope would arise in this hour and they would start to believe with everything in them, God, that you care more about their healing process than they do. I pray they get a sense of you tilting their chin upward, them looking up in your eyes. They see you smiling. And this is easy for you. It's an easy thing in the sight of the Lord. But it's not simplistic. And I just pray, Father, that as they walk with you and they trust you and they apply themselves daily to renewed thinking and they engage their faith, that they would start to see an absolute miracle happen. And that each one of these dear souls would see the desires of their heart come to pass, that they would become the people even beyond what they ever dreamed was possible. We give these dear brothers and sisters now in your name. Amen. Janelle, the time just flew by, but thank you for joining us. Please come back.
I would love to, Susie. God bless you and everyone listening. And just remember, you have value, worth, and dignity.
Amen, amen. Hope you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.